We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
Today I want to talk to you about the responsibilities of the home. Children and home are the foundations of our society. God has charged the home with the exclusive responsibility of rearing children. Parenthood is a venture with God in creating something that will live forever. Each child we bring into the world has an eternal living soul. Parents must accept their duty of training their children in the way of the Lord. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Proverbs 22:6. Nothing else is comparable to the importance of the production and molding of human life. There are certain basic things that parents owe their children. We owe them, first of all, the right to be born of honorable parents. The home alone can give honorable birth to children. Illegitimacy means sin, shame, and suffering to everyone involved, although, of course, the child is innocent. We owe our children physical necessities of life. We owe them food, raiment, shelter, protection, and care. But most of all, we owe our children responsibility and respectable parenthood. A mother who loves and cares rather than a babysitter, and a father who is respected as the head of the family. The fourfold responsibility of parents toward their children is revealed in Luke 2:52, when the Bible tells us how Christ developed and matured. It is said, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." 1. Jesus grew in wisdom. It is the responsibility of parents to educate their children to help them grow in wisdom. Public schools, private schools, and Bible schools may assist the home, but these institutions are not substitutes for the home, only supplements. 2. Jesus grew in stature. It is the responsibility of parents to physically care for their children in order that they might increase in stature, mature in body, as Jesus did. 3. Parents have the responsibility of proper mental and social development of their children. It was said of Christ that he increased in wisdom and favor with man and God. It is through the home that the child is gradually introduced to the world. 4. Most important of all, parents are to be responsible for their children's spiritual growth. Jesus increased in favor with God, the Bible says. This is the greatest liability of the home, most cherished asset of the child. Prayer, Bible study, and worship should be a regular part of child's life. The faith that rocks the cradle is the faith that rules the life. That is no substitute for the spiritual environment and training the home that is to relate to the man or the child who grows to manhood in favor with God. There are certain relationships which our children must be taught to respect. First, the child-parent relationship. This is a foundational relationship that our children receive for life. A failure in this relationship may mean a failure in life. Secondly, that is the child-to-child relationship. Not only must children be taught to respect and obey their parents, they must also learn to play and work, to live with other children. A selfish, undisciplined child may become a misfit, a total liability in society. Thirdly, that is the child-to-God relationship. Children must be taught proper attitudes toward God, the Bible, Christ, and His church. The basic philosophy of every home should be, God is first. May I ask, my friends, who is responsible for juvenile delinquency, the parents or the children? Generally, delinquent parents and broken homes are most responsible for juvenile delinquents. May God help us to remember that the most important thing in life is not just to make a living, but to make a life worth living now and for eternity. And the foundation for such a life is the home. A question of great importance to every parent should be, what will I leave in my home for my children when I die? Will I leave for them a good name? What a great and lasting heritage is that of a good and honorable name! What a blessing a home has been when sons and daughters are proud of the name of their parents, when they can truly say unashamedly, with pride, I am glad and honored to say that he is my father, she is my mother. What a blessing it is to be reared in a Christian home. The memory of a Christian home, the memory of Bible reading and prayers of godly father and the Christian mother may be the guiding light for a son or daughter lost in the darkness of the night of sin, a beacon light that brightens the path that leads to God. My friends, hear me. Are you listening? What do you suppose might have been the final destiny of the prodigal son described in Luke chapter 15? Had it not been for the home he had to remember? The Bible says he remembered. Yes, he remembered his father, a father who loved him. Loved him so much that he ran to meet him, fell on his neck, and kissed him when he returned home. Surely this reception was no surprise to this son who remembered his father. Yes, he remembered all the blessings of the home he left. The memory of this home finally brought the son to repentance and back to the home of love, joy, peace and happiness, life and dignity. How great is the memory of a godly home! May I ask every parent of this great unseen audience, apostles and millions, what kind of home are you providing for your children to remember? Children have a responsibility to their parents. It is the very first duty of the child to obey their parents. The Bible says, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6, verse 1. To the Colossians he wrote, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Colossians 3:20. In Romans 1:20, Paul classifies disobedient children with those who are fornicators, murderers, haters of God, and without understanding. Disobedient children are in the category of those who are without natural affection. The child must ever yield to the superior judgment of the parents. This is God's way. The only exception is when parents contradict the Word of God. According to the account of Luke chapter 2, Jesus was subject to his earthly parents. Not only must children learn to obey parents, but they must also honor and respect them. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee that thou mayest live long on the earth. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3. Some children may obey the wishes of their parents, but they puff up and pout about it and make ugly remarks. Others refer to their parents as the old man or the old woman, or call their parents by their first names. Some children obey their parents if it is their will, that is the child's will to do. For example, a mother may say to the child, go across the street to the neighborhood grocery store and get a loaf of bread. But the child replies, I don't want to. The mother insists, I told you to go to the store and get a loaf of bread. The child again replies, I don't want to. Make John go. Then the parent really declares authoritatively, did you hear me? I mean go. But the child, who has heard such exclamations before, calmly answers, I will, if you let me get some candy. The mother replies, okay, you may have the candy, but you do what I told you to do. Go. The child really obeys, doesn't he? He gets the candy and, incidentally, a loaf of bread. What a mistake for obedience! Could be a mistake for life. Such attitudes are in conflict with the spirit of honoring parents. When children grow up without learning to obey, honor, and respect their parents, they fail to develop respect for any authority. This means problems for them in the future. When they do not have a healthy, natural respect for their parents, they will have no respect for their teachers at school or the policeman on the street corner. Juvenile delinquency is often the result of a home without discipline and correction, motivated by love. Home delinquency. All of us should recognize the power of example. Parents are responsible for training children, and the best training school is the home. Remember, the wise man of God said, "Train up a child." Proverbs 22:6. One of the best ways to train children is by setting the proper example before them. We should not expect our children to do as we say and expect them to do right unless we are doing what we are saying is right. Sometimes fathers punish their sons for smoking the father's cigarette. Mothers may wash the daughter's mouth out with soap for repeating words that flowed from the fountain of the mother's mouth. Many parents punish their children for lying when the children learn their first lesson of falsehood and deceit from the parent. Children are soon impressed by double standards. Parents cannot say, "Don't do as I do, but do as I say." It is folly to try to teach children a way they do not live themselves. Even in some homes, which are supposed to be Christian homes, the Christian influence of parents is very poor. For example, the parent who sends their children to Sunday school and church, but stays at home and reads the newspaper, watches TV, or goes to the golf club, is a poor example. It is very difficult for one to convince somebody else of something he doesn't do himself. But we need to teach our children not only by example, but by precept. We need to teach our children obedience. The Lord, in speaking to Abraham, said, "But I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment." Genesis 18:19. Discipline is not cruelty. Paul commands parents not to provoke their children to wrath. We should never punish while in extreme anger, nor to relieve our own feelings, but only in love and because of disobedience or misconduct of the child. Punishment should never be inconsistent. Parents do not agree, then it is bad to punish. Discipline finds a real success, not in severity, but in certainty and in cooperation. My friends, I want to point out to you a sad result of a disappointed young man from a disappointed home. Curtis E. Rainey, former judge, juvenile court in Huntsville, Alabama, stated in an address given at the Walnut Street Church of Christ in Texarkana, Texas, as follows. "Do not give the child everything the little heart desires. You can destroy people by taking away their dignity, ability, and desire to work and possess their own things. Overdating, paternalism will kill and stifle individuality and make the recipient a mere puppet of the giver. Show children the glory and manliness of work. To give them toy trains and cars and spaceships and guns when they need love and companionship is to give them stones instead of bread. The concept of giving children complete freedom plus every material thing they want with little or no responsibility on their shoulders seems to have produced a generation of irresponsible adults. It is a tragedy of the first order for a child to grow up thinking there is nothing more important than a new car or a new house or new clothes, to put the whole values on the things that he can touch and taste and feel. Young people will not learn to stand on their own 2 feet as long as others underwrite them. I'll never forget the pathetic sight of a stooped and aged mother coming to court to pay her 45-year-old son's drunkenness fine. You don't help people by mopping up after them and their wrongdoing. Let them pay the penalty for their wrong. It is God and nature's way of warning against violating basic laws. Parents, do remember this. Your children are your responsibility and trust. And if parents are not going to take enough time to show enough interest and assume enough responsibility, perhaps it might be the part of wisdom to admit this lack of concern and put them out for adoption to someone who would care enough for them to love them and to train them. My friends, I present to you, from Judge Ramey, 22 steps to the electric chair. He said, every road is arrived at by steps, and so is every destination, including the death house. This is a true story of life. A young man at age 20 sat in the death row in Tennessee State Prison with only 7 hours remaining before he took the last 22 steps to the death chair. At that time, at the 11th hour, the governor of Tennessee commuted his sentence and spared his life. He went about under Operation Crime Prevention, telling his story of how he was saved only 22 steps away. He said, I was brought up by Christian parents. I had a good education. But you don't send people to prison for going to church or school. I'm in prison because I made the wrong decision. Remember what we said about right values determine right thinking, determines our right decisions? Here are 22 steps, I suggest, that might set your child on the road to the electric chair. Please note them carefully. 1. Begin early and give the child everything he wants. Then he will believe the world owes him a living. 2. Start early in the child's life and do everything for him. Never permit him to do the things he is capable of doing for himself, so he will be experienced in throwing the burdens on others. 3. Make him thoroughly dependent on you by waiting on him until the habit is well established. 4. Permit the child to do as he pleases. He will want to continue this in society. 5. Praise him lavishly in his presence. Show him how much smarter he is than other children. 6. Tell religious jokes in his presence and have a good laugh at the expense of the holy Joes. Tell him these religious people are all fanatics anyway. 7. Lose your patience easily. Blow up and bluster and blast the air around your child. Unnerve him and prepare him for tension, headaches, and ulcers. 8. Tell people that your child never does anything wrong. 9. Ride him all the time and tell him that he is clumsy and can't do anything right. Tell him things are too hard for him and that he should never attempt the things he wants to do. He will accommodate his life to your expectations. 10. Always find fault with him and never compliment him on the things he performs well. Nag him constantly. 11. Run down the government in his presence. Cynically, let him hear you say all the politicians are rotten and corrupt, that all the young people are going to the dogs anyway. 12. Interrogate him every time he comes home from school or any place about how he did and where he did it and what he did. This will cause him to quit telling you anything and clam up. 13. Avoid using the word wrong. It may develop in him a guilt complex. This will prepare him to believe that when he is punished later, maybe for stealing, that society is against him and that he's being persecuted. 14. Tell everyone that nothing is too good for your child. Pamper him, pet him, and make life easy for him, so if he does not have everything he wants when times get hard, then he will be mentally prepared to take what he wants by force and fraud. 15. Give him more spending money than he needs and never make him earn his own money. This way he might rob a bank later to get some money. 16. Make him a cynic by letting him get the impression that there is another real story behind the first story. Poison his mind with suspicious tendencies. 17. Quarrel frequently in his presence, and he will be prepared for a contentious life and perhaps a broken home later in his own married life. 18, satisfy every whim, caprice, and craving for food, drink, and everything that he has to do with the sense of taste and touch. 19, take his part against the teachers, the policemen, and the neighbors. They are do-gooders and are prejudiced against your child. Believe everything your boy says. Number 20 in the 22 steps to the electric chair. When he gets into real trouble, always defend yourself and say, I never could do anything with that boy. 21. Try to pressure him into making top grades when he is naturally slow. This will help him to be nervous and unpredictable and eccentric. 22 in the 22 steps to the electric chair. Let him get the idea it's all right to fudge on his grades, to tell a white lie, to sow a little wild oats, to sneak into function and activities without paying. Enjoy a hearty laugh with him over the little escapades by which he foxed someone out of his earnings, or by some criminal cunning device he deceived somebody. Make him dishonest and crooked. These may not, but they also may. Send your child on a path that leads straight to cell block that is only 22 steps from the shameful death in the electric chair. Ladies and gentlemen, God gave you your home, your children, your all. What are you giving to God and to the world?